It's time for Today in Tech, the show where we talk about all things tech from the past week that we happen to care about anyway. It's episode 47. I'm Dylan Combs here as usual. A lot's happened this week. The Department of Homeland Security is seizing domains without warrants. iOS 4.2 is out. Apple's rejecting more apps and telling Chinese manufacturers they can't make Steve Jobs action figures. And we're going to get to all that on this episode and more. But before we do, of course, I'm joined by my two co-hosts, Kat and Bradley. How are you guys today?
Hey, Dylan. Hey, Bradley. Hi, everybody.
What's up?
What's up?
So what's new with you guys? And we've been gone for, we haven't done an episode in a week, as always, but it's been Thanksgiving week. So how was your Thanksgiving, everybody?
We haven't celebrated ours yet, so.
Thanksgiving was Thanksgiving, basically, and we, you know, looked at a lot of deals to buy stuff, and
I think everyone on this call just hates Thanksgiving.
No, I love Thanksgiving normally, but we're having our dinner late. Bradley ate a lot of food, cooked a lot of food, and bought a big screen TV.
Yeah. Nice. Well, I bought my big screen TV a little bit early, so I've already got that. I didn't get any Black Friday deals or anything like
that.
What
about Cyber Monday? Are you going to hit that up?
I am, actually.
Woo-hoo. Are you going to buy me something? No, I'm kidding.
Actually, I was planning on doing some Christmas shopping, so.
Hey, I've been good this year, I promise.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, really. We'll go with that.
Yeah.
Good.
Bad Santa doesn't agree.
Bad Santa doesn't agree.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. So we have a guest on the line today. We have Roberto from Throwboy, and we're going to get to him in just 1 second as well. And before we do, I just want to make a couple quick announcements for those who may not have listened to last week's show. Obviously, we couldn't do this one live. I've been having technical difficulties with the broadcasting machine. That will be fixed by next week. Definitely, no matter what. Yeah, even if I have to broadcast from my production machine, my i7, I will, because Kat will be here in studio for the show next Saturday.
Which means I'll actually be on the camera for once.
Yes.
Yeah.
That'll so nice. We haven't had you on camera since DCL Specials number 2.
Right.
That was right months ago. That was Gnomedex.
That week, yeah, it was a blast. We had so much fun. That was the night we got Scoble to tune in and scream at his legion of followers to watch. That was a lot of fun.
Everyone tweeted that show. Everybody tweeted. We did over 10,000 views in a night that night.
Yeah, it was crazy.
That was fun times right there.
It was. We had a really good time.
So you'll be here, and we'll be doing shows here, and I think we're doing, are we going to have those Griffin products?
Hopefully they'll be here in time. Dave is sending them out. Dave Delaney, he's the community manager for Griffin Technologies, and I got an iPhone 4 when I was in New York City in October instead of my 3GS, so he's my buddy, and he's going to send me out a whole bunch of cases and goodies to test out and review, and I'm going to talk about them live on our show, hopefully next weekend, while I can show them on the camera. So he's sending them out Monday, so hopefully they'll get here in time.
That is good. Also, for those who, I've actually gotten messages, I didn't mention this to you, Kat, because I didn't want you to feel bad about it, but those of you who, those like three or four of you who actually emailed me and said, we could always hear Kat's typing, she needs a new mic. Next week, I forgot to mention, I've got this blue snowball microphone here. I won this thing in a giveaway at PodCamp Ohio 2 years ago. Great mic, like $100 mic still. I love it, but I never use it because I've got this one. I have no use for it. So Kat will have a better mic starting next show.
Sorry, and I promise to try not to type this week. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Our audio quality is obviously crap already because of the buzzing in the mixer that I can't do anything about. So hopefully people will just forgive us for that. And
our equipment wants to take a holiday too this week. That's all it is.
Sure. Yeah, nothing worked today. The stream didn't work. The mixer's not working right. Nothing's working.
Well, technically, I'm not even supposed to be here. If you recall, we told everybody last week that I wasn't going to be on except for via telephone, which might have been interesting. But yeah. Since my daughter has the flu, we didn't go anywhere, so here I am on Skype as usual.
Yeah, next week will be fun. I think we're also doing a, to finish up announcements real quick, I think we're also doing a DCL Specials episode on community.
Yep, probably.
So more information on that will come out as soon as I know what's when we can do that.
As soon as I say okay.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. It's big news.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll record it next week. Hopefully, if Kat's nice, I'll be allowed to release it next week.
There we go.
That would be nice.
Yeah, we can record it while I'm there, for sure.
Okay. Great, great. So, I'm going to turn it over to Kat before we go into our stories, because I don't want to take up too much of Roberto's time. He's already been sitting here for the past 6 minutes, waiting anxiously, I'm sure, for us to bring him in and talk about his amazing site and at throwboy.com and the pillows that he makes there. Everyone has these things now. I remember when the first time I heard about the Throwboy pillows, it was on Chris's stream, and it's gotten so much bigger since then. Every major YouTuber and podcaster has discussed these and bought them and given them away. So
I just
did it. Kat, tell us more about it introduce Roberto for us.
I think there's a toss-up between who likes their Throwboys better, me or iJustine, honestly. She's pretty fanatical about them, too. And, Roberto, I believe you and I met not too long before GnomeDex last year. And we, you know, Chris got his hands on the Throwboy pillows and went fanatic about them. And, of course, I helped write about them and stuff for him as his assistant. And we brought you into GnomeDex, and you were so kind to bring these bagfuls of these pillows, and people were fighting over them all through the conference. Everybody wanted one. It was awesome. So since that time, Roberto and I actually have ended up becoming friends, and after GnomeDex this year, I spent a couple extra weeks at Chris's, and every time I've been in Seattle, I don't have time to sightsee. I'm there to work. So Roberto was kind enough to come and kidnap me for the day, and we had a fantastic time. We went on the Seattle Duck Tour and quacked like ducks and went up to the top of the Space Needle and went to lunch. It was a really good time. So Roberto is more than just pillows, let me tell you. But the reason I asked him here today is because he also now has a new product that I have got to get my hands on. I need these in my home. You have Throw Babies now. What right. brought those? Tell us a little bit. How did you get this whole Throwboy idea to begin with? And then, of course, where'd the Throw Babies come in?
Well, let's see. Back in 2007, I made these pillows that look like the Mac icons. And I made them just as a present for this girl that I was dating. And I just gave them to her. But then she ended up working. She at the time worked at a tech company. And they ended up blogging about it. And then that blog just kind of went viral really quick and just kind of spread all over the place in different languages. And I got so much traffic to my little website that all I had was photos of them that it crashed. And so I decided, maybe I should make this into a business. And I spent the next year just kind of crafting this idea and coming up with, you know, the name and everything like that. And launched in 2008, and since then have just been doing everything, making the pillows myself. Later on, I hired somebody to help me, hired another person to help me with shipping because I just got so busy. Like you said, I reached out to people like Chris who brought it to their, you know, their wide community, and have just kind of just been doing this geeky pillow thing. You know, I turned it in from just doing the icons, and I started doing the these ones that look like chat bubbles that have things like WTF, LOL, OMG,
FML. That's my favorite.
And then we reached out to other people like Chris and started doing their logo. Since then, we've done logo pillows for Bing and for Twitter and quite a few different companies, and for other kind of people like YouTube celebrities and people like that. So it's been a crazy ride for the last 2 years.
I just, you know, I don't own any of them yet. I gotta get some. I don't know what I want to buy. I want to go on the site and just buy one of everything,
right?
But I can't do that.
Right.
I'm gonna go broke.
I'll admit it. I haven't had to pay for any of mine because every time I've been there and we do giveaways and I help, you know, I've done a lot of stuff to help him promote these through Chris's site and stuff and Gnome Decks. So he's always like, here, which one do you want?
Yeah.
So I've been lucky. I own four of them now. And funny story, when I go on an airplane, I have severe neck injuries left over from a car wreck years ago and I can never get comfortable. And you know those, I don't like the word retarded. I don't know what word to use. They're stupid. Those, the neck pillow things you can buy for airplanes, those suck.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They don't work for somebody like me that's got neck problems. So I've never found one that is comfortable that helps me. And I took my FML throw boy pillow with me to New York City in October when I shadowed Robert Scoble and used it on the plane up against the window. And it was like perfect. I was like, oh. And so it's the perfect size, and they are very, very well made. They are handmade, I will say that. They're not, you know, mass produced in some factory.
That's what surprised me more than anything. I couldn't
believe it. Yeah, you can watch him on his stream. He'll tweet out and be like, Ribeiro's like, hey, you know, come and turn it on, and you can actually see him making the throwboy pillows.
Oh, there's a live stream.
Or cutting his cord.
It's kind of the
fabric.
I do use stream from time to time, and kind of just it's kind of cool. I have a picture-in-picture an overhead camera looking down so people can see what I'm doing, and then I just kind of hang out and talk to the people that want to see it.
You know, I was thinking about this last night as I was laying down, and I was thinking about all the things I wanted to do on the show today, and I just got done reading this whole article about net neutrality and equality on the internet, and then I was thinking about what I wanted to ask you about for the Throwboy site, and I was sitting there thinking, you know, this is a perfect example of what makes the internet great. You can come up with an idea like this, put up a site, and 2 years later have this huge business, have, you know, tons and tons of people that know about it and that want the product, and all because you just came up with this one great idea and threw it out to a few people online.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. The cost of entry, you know, these days to get out there is zero, you know. Just getting your name out there, putting up a website. Like, you know, we didn't have, you know, hundreds of these pillows ready to go. We just put up photos of them and said, okay, let's do this, you know.
Yeah.
At the time, it was just me, but yeah, it actually impresses me and kind of blows my mind every time I kind of think about that. Throwboys really run out of a one-bedroom apartment, and, you know, with stuff that you could buy off the shelves, like a MacBook and a laser printer and, you know, these things that anyone can buy, and it's so cool how a whole business can be run this way nowadays.
Mm-hmm. And our regular listeners will remember a few weeks back we had TSS Tech Angel as a guest, my best friend Melody, and she is starting her own business, you know, blogging about eco-friendly products and things that you can do and ways to save money and be economical at the same time. And she just featured you as well because she considers your business, what you're doing, as very economical. You use every scrap of fabric that you can. You don't waste anything, do you? Is that how the Throw Baby idea came about, or no?
It actually worked out really well because I do that, but no. That was for those that don't know, Throw Babies are miniature versions of the chat pillows.
They're so cute.
And we've been wanting to do that. I've had that idea since I started.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if they were small? And I always know, like, especially girls, you know, if you make something smaller, it's, like, instantly much cuter and they want to buy it. So I was like, oh, that would be such a great idea. But I'm glad that I waited because, you know, I waited for the brand to get a little bit bigger and people to know who it was. And also just the demand. A lot of kids really love Throwboy, and I hear all the time, like, oh, I really want a pillow, but I can't afford it. And I thought this would be such a great entry-level thing to do. And, you know, it's kind of like when Apple had the iPod, and it was $400, $500, and then they came out with the Mini, and all of a sudden that took off because it was much cheaper, and it was cuter. It had, you know, colors and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I was like, I need to do that. I ended up doing that, and we were so excited for this, for Throw Babies. And I still love the fact that they're out finally. It's just so cool. And we can end up doing more of them in different, you know, different incantations or incarnations. I mean,
right. Well, I haven't seen those in person yet, but you know, the pictures for those of you, of course, you can go to throwboy.com and click on the Throw Babies link. They fit in the palm of your hand, and they look exactly like, you know, the original Throw Boys, and you can get them to say fail and law and. Or law? Wow, law. FML, WTF, OMG. They have little strings on them. Now, I don't know. I can't tell, you know, in the picture, how long is that? Like, can they be hung from a rearview mirror?
Yep, they sure can.
I gotta have one.
Yeah, they sure can. That was one of the
I need that in my car.
I want like six of them. And you know.
He's got the GTFO one, too. I need that one in my car.
You can put that on your doorknob if you want.
Right? These are, I love them. I do. I can't say enough. Chris and I blog on his site, you know, regularly. And the guys are teasing me before we brought you in the call, Roberto, because I'm like, oh, yeah, I did the post last night. And they're like, oh, you just did it because he's coming on today. I said, no, I do it a couple times a year. And, you know, the Throw Babies, we hadn't talked about it on Chris's community yet. And I'm like, okay, Christmas is coming. These would make the ultimate stocking stuffer in my mind. I would like to have them in mine. Hint, hint. To all of you. And so, yeah, I just like threw the post out there last night. I'm like, here you go, buy these. So
you can also put them on the Christmas tree too. We're gonna have a picture of that coming up pretty soon, so people
That right there, you shouldn't have said that. That just gave me an excuse to buy like 20 of them.
So it's gonna have a whole
get a big tree.
They're only $9 or 3 for $23, so
yep, they're great. They're 100% fleece, very soft, very cushy, comfy. Yeah, and of course, I don't want to overstep my bounds, but if your company is interested in a custom one, I'm sure you can email him and talk to him. Yeah, I figured. The Chris, I got to go back to Chris again. The Perillo, what did we name it? Perillo?
Perillo with a W.
Yeah. That thing.
Nice.
I love it and I hate it at the same time.
I mean, I don't want to sleep on Chris's face. That's just me.
Exactly. The Brillos that he has, that Chris has, and this, it's an incantation of his Locker Gnome face logo. And they're very well made. They look great. They do. And I love that. However, when I go stay at Chris's house for, you know, work stuff, those are in the bedroom that I use, and I swear to God, I take them and put them in a closet. I'm not sleeping with Chris's head.
Does he sleep with his own head?
It's just not right.
You can literally say you slept with Chris one night.
Yes. I literally put it in the closet until I leave because I'm not sleeping with it. It's like the soap with his face on it in the guest bathroom.
Okay, one second.
I turn it upside down, so you know.
Oh man, you know I wanted to get the Twit pillow. I love that one.
And thank you.
I want them all, and I only have one question.
Yes.
Where's the Dylan Combs pillow?
DCL Productions.
You know.
You know your logo would make a beautiful pillow, actually.
I think it would.
You should send it to me. I'd love to see it.
That logo, actually, yeah.
I know that. When I was at South by Southwest, I talked to Guy Kawasaki, and he said it best. He's like, you know you've made it when you have a Throwboy pillow made of your logo.
That's awesome.
Which is so cool and so flattering.
It is.
And coming from someone like that, that's just great. I mean, when I, like I said, when I first saw these things coming up on YouTube, I had already known about Throwboy, and I had seen you on shows like the Tech Buzz with Steve. Steve's a good friend of mine.
Cool.
I've known Steve for like 3 or 4 years, and I've seen you on other shows. And then one day I remember I was watching, who was it? I believe it was iJustine that might have been first. And then I saw it on her channel, and then I saw it on CTFXC, and then a couple other channels. And once it was on CTFXC, I was just like, okay, that if you're on CTFXC, you've made it. That's it. This is it.
Dude, yeah, Charles and Allie are fantastic. They actually reached out to me shortly after, because I went to VidCon in July of last year, and that was all a big YouTube convention, and And they just went over really well. We introduced a new pillow that looked like the subscribe button that you see on YouTube. And they made a big splash there. A lot of the people like iJustine and Phil DeFranco and Mitchell Davis, they threw them out into the audience and stuff. And then after that, I just got lots of email from lots of different YouTube people. And, you know, I'm just still learning about a lot of these people. And so when Charles emailed me, that was a long back and forth. That actually ended up, I sent him some that took like 3 weeks or 4 weeks to get there. So he ended up having like 9 pillows to give away on his channel, which ended up being cool. But yeah, those guys are great.
I tried to win. I didn't, but I gotta say, Charles and Allie are my favorite YouTubers ever.
They're so cool. I hope to meet them when I go to VidCon.
Yeah. I'd love to go. I might have to go to VidCon next time.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to go. But yeah, the YouTube community as of lately has just been so warm. They just have really been loving Throwboy. And we did a pillow with a big YouTuber, Mitchell Davis, that just surprised the heck out of me how popular that was, because we just made a pillow for him. It looks like a triangle with lots of little triangles on it. You can see it on throwboy.com.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And that ended up being a huge seller for us, and it's just really cool because we, you know, give him a cut of what we make for that pillow, and we'd love to do that in the future with more brands. So
I gotta ask before we let you go and move on to our news stories for the day, what can you tell us about the future of Throwboy? What are some things to come?
Well, like I said, we want to do this kind of thing where we have a few different businesses. We have the Throwboy, Throwboy.com, you know, our line of pillows, like the chat pillows and things like that, just designs that we come up with. And by we, I mean me. We want to, next year, really are planning on getting into stores. That's the next big thing, because as of now, we've sold everything on Throwboy.com. We sold on ThinkGeek.com for a little while, but then we pulled back, and now we're just selling strictly on Throwboy.com. But we'd love to get into stores. I think that's really where the next phase is. And then, like I said, we want to start doing stuff with some YouTubers. And we want to go down that route. I think that would be really awesome. And also just different businesses. You know, a lot of businesses really love this for sort of a giveaway item or for their employees and people like that. And so we're looking to explore that some more. And yeah, that's pretty much the future. We're just have so many ideas. It's like all these potential to do so many things. People want t-shirts, all this kind of stuff, so I guess we're gonna have to start doing that.
Well, I'll tell you what, one word of advice for me, not that I'm any expert in pillow making, but I'll tell you what, I've seen all the ones on the site, and I gotta say, the ones that you've come up with and designed yourself are the best. So whatever you do, just don't stop making new ones yourself.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Roberto, for jumping to answer my call when I asked you to come and join us.
Sure.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for everybody for having me on the show.
Oh, you're welcome back anytime.
Yeah, I'd love to stay for longer next time. Right now, we're just so busy. I should probably get back to work.
That's understandable. You get back to work. Christmas, we'll let you go. See you next time.
Pillows, thing, boy. Yeah. Hey, and you know what? I might actually have to email you with my logo design.
Definitely. We won't be able to get to it till after Christmas, but
and I'll tell you what, before I do that, I'm gonna tell everybody that's listening right now, everyone that's listening to the podcast, if you are interested in the possibility of a pillow with my logo, send me an email. I will forward every single email I get to Roberto, and if he thinks there's enough interest, hopefully maybe it'll happen. Maybe.
There you go.
Probably not, but it can't hurt to send me an email and tell me you're interested.
Yep. There you go. Can't hurt. All right. Thanks again, Roberto. Have a good one.
Okay. Thank you. See you later. Thanks.
Bye.
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 He is so much fun, you guys. You have no idea.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have to get him back on again.
We had a blast that day we went sightseeing. It was just, he was so much fun. And those things, I'm not kidding. Those pillows are great. I cannot wait to get me some throw babies.
Like I said, they can go on Christmas trees. I have an excuse to buy them all.
No, I want the GTFO one, which I won't say what it stands for. I think everybody listening probably knows.
Yeah, I
need that one to hang on my rearview mirror. I gotta have it. Gotta have it. So, Dylan, what's up in tech news this week?
Oh, well, our first story this week really, really pisses me off. And I know you say you don't even want to say what GTFO stands for, but I can't even go over this story without saying how absolutely fucking pissed I am at the Department of Homeland Security. Because, yes, I will say whatever I want on this show like I always do.
It's your show.
Department of Homeland Security is seizing copyright-violating domain names, which basically means torrent sites. Such as torrent-finder.com. If you head over right now to torrent-finder.com, at least at the time of this recording, you're presented with this scary-looking page that says, this domain name has been seized by ICE Homeland Security Investigations, blah, 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 and District Court and Authority of 18, all this numbers and crap. Basically, they're just going in and without warrant, without really any authority, in my opinion, yeah. maybe they legally can do this. I don't know. I happen to think with what Bradley is saying, and they are violating the Constitution. They're going in and seizing these domain names. They're not going to the registrars. They're just going. They're going around all that and just taking over these domain names and shutting down these sites. Maybe they have illegal content. Maybe they don't. It doesn't matter. Well, though. That's not how you do it.
You know what it is, though. More and more, we're seeing that the government is just bowing down to these record companies like they're gods. They have got to be supplying the government with lobbying and millions and billions of dollars and really pushing to help them in some way, because these guys are just in the palm of their hand. They got our government just in their control. If not, they are the government at this point.
I don't get it.
It's ridiculous.
And the thing is, the only reason that they can do this and get away with it is because there's not enough people that would stand up and say something about it. That's it. That's the only reason they can get away with this.
Yeah.
They know that there's not enough, because the average internet user doesn't know about torrent sites, doesn't use them, and doesn't give a shit at all.
Well, anyway, not only that, how many people want to stand up publicly like that and say, I use torrents, I steal my stuff? They're not going to do that. So they're going to sit there and keep quiet and feel about it,
yeah,
but they're not going to come forward.
Well, you know what? You don't have to admit to stealing stuff to say use torrents. I'll tell you right now. Do I use the Pirate Bay regularly? Yes, I do. Do I download illegal content from the Pirate Bay? Not necessarily. But do I use torrents on a regular basis for various things that are not necessarily illegal? Yes, there are good uses for torrents. And what this is doing is not only eliminating the positive uses, of course they're getting rid of some piracy with this, but they're shutting it down. Now we can't get the good torrents, and it's sending a bad message to people.
You know what's going to happen, though? Give me that URL if they shut down again.
It's torrents-finder.com.
2 days later, torrent2-finder.com will magically show up. And then torrent3-finder.com will show up. Torrent 4, and it's going to keep doing that because anyone can register a domain name. They're cheap. It's the servers that people are, that have the content, and the servers are not going to be in the U.S. 99% of the case. So they're just going to buy a cheapy $5, $10 domain name and push the content somewhere else. And they're going to keep doing it, and these cat and mouse games are never going to end. I mean, that's what happened with the Pirate Bay. It just become the Pirate Bay's, the Pirate Bay 2. It would never end. So the government can keep doing what they're doing, but they're wasting their time on things that aren't going to stop. They're not helping anyone. They're not stopping piracy at all, in my opinion, because the pirates know where to go. They're not stupid. They know this stuff happens, and they know
and
how
it's, and it's
works.
Not just the one domain, by the way. That's just one that happened to be at the one article that I mentioned there. There's actually a list out there somewhere. There's over, I think it was 25 or 30 domains at least, that were seized in one day alone.
And obviously, these are probably domains that were registered in the U.S., otherwise they wouldn't be able to do this. But you got to remember, a lot of these domains, as well as the servers, aren't even hosted in the U.S. So they can't do much about this, to be honest. And if they try and start blocking stuff like they're trying to propose in the future, there's always a way around it. That's the great thing about technology. I mean, people are always going to know how to get around this stuff. It's going to hurt the innocent person. All the pirates just are laughing at their while they log in with their private virtual server and download their
documents. Exactly. I mean, this is a waste of time. It's a waste of government resources. I mean, to fully understand this, I'm going to read a quote here from an article I was reading last night. This is from thehill.com, and this was posted actually a while ago. It was on the 19th, so like 8 days ago this was posted. But you have to understand how stupid some people in the government are when it comes to the internet in general. This is a quote about the net neutrality bill that's going through right now. This is the official statement from the Republicans, and I quote, "Reigniting the network neutrality debate will only distract us from that work and further jeopardize investment, innovation, and jobs. We ask you to not circulate such an order." Stupid.
Yeah,
the exact opposite of true.
You know, both parties are idiots in most cases, and you know what? The government policies and courts, they'll never be able to keep up with technology because it's exponential growth.
Right.
It's not going to stop. So these people are just... It goes back to what I was saying, you know, outside the podcast. A lot of people, we're going to keep worrying about marijuana. We're going to keep worrying about, you know, the craft that just doesn't matter. And you know what? Why don't we worry about war? Why don't we be like, okay, you know what? Have your marijuana. Have your torrent sites. Why don't we worry about protecting lives here?
Exactly.
Stop worrying about crap that doesn't matter.
Exactly. I don't understand why there's so much discussion and debate over whether I can sit here and smoke a joint and download music illegally or not, when there should be a big discussion and debate over all the other crap that's going on, and the fact that the Chinese now have a supercomputer that's 50% faster than the one we have, and all this other stuff that's going on.
And you know what? I don't think people should just go over... should just get up upright and steal. I discussed this last podcast. However, everything that could be done has been done. Keep doing that, but stop trying to do more that's not going to help.
Do what you can to
legally help the record industry, but stop making the innocent person's life hell.
Yeah.
Someone's got to do something. I mean, there's just been so many rights violations lately. This is a violation of the Constitution to seize these domains. It was against the law when the FCC brought this bill to life, because they were already told by the Supreme Court that they didn't have the authority to do this kind of thing. They went around that and did it anyway. So we just have more and more evidence of government corruption coming up, and particularly with things to do with the internet. And look, I've got no problem with old people, but old people are running the government, and old people are the ones that don't understand this stuff. And I guarantee you, if you took all the people that were making these decisions now and replaced them with people under the age of 30, this shit wouldn't happen.
And you know what the problem is? Another issue is, people would have thought, out of all the things that Obama's doing wrong, he would at least have understood the internet, because he's the most tech... Let's admit it, he is the most tech-savvy president we've ever had. But he sits there and sides with the lobbyists. Like all of them. He's nothing new. He understands this stuff more, but he doesn't care.
He's out to cover his own ass. He doesn't care what actually happens. He wants to keep himself in office.
Yeah. It's not going to happen.
Of course not.
But anyway, that's besides the point, getting off subject.
It is. And we don't go into politics on this show.
We're good at that.
Yeah. I just got to say, I love the fact that every single episode that we've done since we brought this show back, literally every single one, somehow or another, piracy has come up.
Well, it's a hot topic right now. It's everywhere in the news.
Yeah, you know what else is huge in the news?
What?
Apple finally pushes out the freaking 4.2 for the iPad owners. They finally get to experience the fourth version of iOS.
I heard that 4.3 or whatever is coming out, like, the 11th?
Mid-December, because they delayed 4.2 because of issues, so it seems like it's happening really quickly. And just to summarize, 4.2.1 is the official final release for all iOS devices, including your Apple TVs, believe it or not. Make sure you update everything that's running iOS. For the iPhone... One feature I want to talk about specifically, other than the AirPlay and the AirPrint stuff.
I was about to say, iPad, this is great, but for people that have iPhones, it's like, ooh, AirPlay and AirPrint, ooh.
Yeah, but one feature in specific that is really nice, you can make a free mobile me account just use a free one, and you can use what once used to be a paid service. Find my iPhone for free now. You set up a MobileMe account. You download the Find My iPhone application in the App Store, and for free, you can remote lock your phone, you can remote wipe your phone, you can remote send messages through the phone, and locate it really precisely for free. It used to be only to MobileMe subscription holders, but they've brought it to all iOS devices running 4.2.
That's awesome.
And I'm pretty glad about that. That's the biggest feature, in my opinion. And of course, if you do have the iPad, you finally get the 4. Experience that you've been missing that your iPhone people have been bugging you about.
You can finally actually use the power of that iPad.
You can actually
make folders and multitask and all that stuff that you should have been able to do the day it was released.
And of course, the smaller features that some people might find interesting is AirPrint. You can print from wirelessly. AirPlay. You can stream media wirelessly. That's iOS 4.2.1, and as Kat mentioned, sometime mid-December, we will see 4.3. We don't have any, there's no official details on what exactly 4.3 is going to bring, but we'll let you know as soon as possible.
Excellent. You know, with the iPads, everybody's been saying that the iPad is going to be the hottest selling device for Christmas, and I'm sorry, not just Christmas, the holidays.
It's one of them.
It's one of them, yeah. And, you know, let's face it, everybody wants devices. What do we want for Christmas? We want iPads, computers, laptops, phones, iPods, MP3 players, yep. e-book readers. That's what we want. And that's what most of us will likely, hopefully, get. But, you know, once we have these gadgets in our hands, we're going to spend even more time with our faces buried in their screens than what we already do. Something that I happened to see on Mashable this week was an article about eye strain and pointing out the fact that the more time we spend staring at it's not just our computer, guys, it's our phones and the iPads and every one of those devices. The more time you spend at them, the worse you're affecting your eyes. So Mashable did a great story that we will link to so you can see all of their tips, ways that you can help prevent eye strain. I know for me, I spend 15 hours a day at least staring at various devices, and my eyes are bad to begin with. I started wearing glasses when I was 3, y'all. So my eyes are bad.
Not as bad as mine.
Well, no. No, not as bad as Bradley's.
I might get
that way someday, but...
I have a 20/200 in one eye, 20/250 in the left eye. I have ocular albinism and mild nystagmus. And actually, these devices don't really bug my eyes that I can physically notice. I'm sure there's something nasty going on there, but I don't care because I love computers too much.
That's what I have is I don't remember which eye it's in, but last time I got an eye exam, they told me it was 20/200, and the eye doctor told me that if I didn't have glasses, I would be legally blind.
Yep.
It's bad.
Yeah. Well, you know, for most of us, most people, you know, it may not affect Bradley or that he notices anyway, but most of you likely notice it. You get the headaches. You can feel your eyes straining. I know I do. And they have 5 tips. I'm not going to read the entire story to you. I'll give you a quick overview. You want to customize your environment, adjust the environment. Use a monitor large enough, of course, that you can afford to be able to read comfortably, or look into a screen magnifier. Think about your lighting. Too much light will overexpose and irritate your eyes, but not enough will cause eye strain. So you don't only want to think about your monitor settings for your lighting scheme. Bright overhead lighting, bad. Desk lamps shining towards you, bad. Shine it towards a wall or your desk. Windows, actually. If possible, arrange your desk and your monitor so that window light streaming in is off to the side or behind you.
Actually, my window is kind of funny. My window's completely like pitched out. I made sure that no light get in here.
I'm the same way, but not everybody thinks of that. You know, the natural light from coming in your window, if it's right in front of you and sometimes even behind your screen, that is just more added glare.
I can't read a screen if it's behind me. I got it because I got a glossy monitor. Good luck.
I've got all matte screens here because I hate the only glossy screen I have on my laptop. That's the only one. All the other four screens here are all matte displays because I hate glossy screens just because of the glare. Kat, you know this because every time we've been on Skype video chat during the day, you see how bad the light is behind me. It makes my screens look horrible.
You know, on a side note, matte are easier to clean.
True.
And, actually, if you are someone who has a lot of eye problems in general, more than just strain, I know this is kind of far-fetched, but look into a Mac, because the accessibility that Apple provides throughout their entire hardware platform suites is the highest quality I've seen beyond any PC or Linux or anything. That's one thing that Apple does right.
Except that's
part of my tips. You guys didn't just let me get there.
I'm gonna let you finish, but Bradley, as far as the Mac thing, keep in mind, listeners, if you're expecting a good screen, stay the hell away from the MacBook Air. It has the worst screen I've ever seen on a laptop ever. I swear, the viewing angle on that thing, and I saw a video of it on YouTube by Eric Lanigan, who's he works over at Twit, and I've talked to him a few times on his show and emailed him. But if you go to youtube.com/Eric Lanigan, you can see his review of the MacBook Air, and the screen alone is enough for me to not want to buy it. The viewing angle on this thing is horrible. The contrast gets so messed up if you tilt the screen by even an inch.
You know, the problem is if you, for me, that screen is too small. I wouldn't even bother. I would have to get a MacBook Pro.
Yeah, well, this is why I have big screens here.
Yeah,
exactly.
I remember Kat told me the other day her Touch Smart is a 22-inch display. And I was like, I didn't even know they made 22-inch Touch Smarts. I thought those were bigger. My biggest one here is a 23, and I'm complaining that my screens are small.
That I couldn't, when I have to use a laptop, I can't read it. I can't. My eyes, I've had this for 2.5 years now, and my eyes are so adjusted to the screen real estate on the Touch Smart. I can't make that transition anymore my eyes are bad.
Well, you're going to love this when you're here then, because we're going to back up your stuff, and we're going to upgrade you to Windows 7 so you can get the hell off Vista. And while we're doing that, I'm gonna I'll let you mess around with my stuff here. You'll love these screens. These are great.
Yeah, I'm gonna want to pack up Dylan's system and take it with me, I think.
You'll love Windows 7.
I know. I've used it. I beta tested it. Yeah, I've
kind of wondering what the heck is wrong with you.
I had forgotten how bad Windows 7 was until
I've just never taken the time to back up and make the upgrade on my main machine.
Oh, no, listen, I had totally forgotten how bad Windows 7 was until the other day when Kat,
you were having Windows 7?
Or Windows Vista, sorry.
I was going to say.
I forgot how bad Windows Vista was until just the other day when I remoted into your system to fix your graphics card issue.
Yeah.
And, I mean, keep in mind, guys, she's running Vista, 2 gigs of RAM. Or was
four?
It four? Four. Okay, even better. Four.
Four
gigs of RAM. Over half of the hard drive is empty, so space is not an issue. RAM is not an issue. The thing idles with no programs open at 1.95 gigs of RAM and like 30 or 40% CPU usage.
Yeah, what? It's bad.
Keep in mind, I have an i7. I have an i7, but I idle at like 0-1%. I can run 2 virtual machines, run 3 instances of Windows at once, and still not go above 15% CPU. That's not just because my i7, that's Windows 7 right there.
Yeah, Windows 7 is very friendly to resources beyond any operating system.
Yep, I know. And we're gonna take the time to do that this weekend.
Yeah.
Gonna back me up and reinstall me.
It's gonna run so much better.
If maybe we'll do it on stream.
Yeah, I've done so many live Windows installs on the stream, it's not even funny. Cause
you know, I knew I had the speed issues, obviously, I knew this, the sluggishness, and like Dylan, when he remoted in with TeamViewer and I went to open my C drive, he goes, "What the hell, why is it not opening?" Because it takes it a minute, you actually have to watch the progress bar. So, I mean, it's that bad.
I mean, I'm just sitting here like, I've got hotkeys set up for all that, and it's like
I didn't really worry about it until I downloaded the newest patch for World of Warcraft and tried to play it, and my game kept crashing. repeatedly. And I'm like, this never happens. What the hell? And somebody said, oh, update your video card driver. Try that. And then it just went to hell from there. It was insane.
Yeah, the drivers are a huge issue with Vista.
Yeah.
And I know now, and I just realized what I should get you for Christmas, Kat, and I'm considering this now.
What?
Because I bought one for myself, and I can never go back anymore. No. Bradley, I'm going to get you something, too, because you guys do the show with me, and we're not running ads so far, so I'm getting you guys Christmas presents for doing the show.
Thank you.
And nice. Because you guys are awesome. So what I'm considering, not saying for sure, because I still want you to be surprised, but I'm thinking about getting you a solid-state drive.
Right.
Really?
And installing it.
Can that go in the TouchSmart?
Yes, absolutely.
See, I don't know. I was told by some people that you can upgrade anything you want on these, and other people tell me, no, you really can't.
Anyone that tells you you can't is wrong.
I need to talk to my HP contacts.
No. You can.
Because it's not under warranty, so they'll tell me the truth.
You can't. They'll tell you not to. They'll tell you that basically what they're going to tell you is that if you open it up and you fuck it up, it's your fault, and they're not going to do anything to fix it.
Well, they won't anyway. It's out of warranty.
But it can be upgraded. It's as simple as taking the hard drive out and putting in an SSD. And when I got mine, I run a solid-state drive in my i7 computer now. And I'll tell you what, I went from a 35-second boot time to a 7-second boot time.
Wow.
And programs launch. I can sit here and I've got a program where I can schedule applications to launch and then hit a button and they all launch at once. I can open every application in CS5, my browsers, Skype, and my webcam program, and a virtual machine all at once, and it does it like that. 5 seconds, it's ready to go.
Well, Dylan had a fit. When we rebooted with TeamViewer on, we were on the phone at the same time. And, of course, we had to reboot at one point, I think, when the driver was installed and we rebooted. So he says, okay, let me know when it's up. And he's like, hello, did you forget to tell me? And I'm like, no, it's not done yet. Because from the time that it starts to start until, and the only thing I have that loads on startup other than the operating system is my antivirus. That's it. I do not let, you know, anything else start up automatically. And it took, what, a minute and a half?
I do.
It was more than that. It was more like 3 minutes.
This is kind of funny. I have a Kaspersky, Pigeon, Skype, iTunes, TrueCrypt, TeamViewer.
You actually let all that load?
Yeah, because I use it all the time.
Learn MS config, son.
He wants it to.
Yeah.
Why?
It's not slow, though. It loads.
Yeah, he's got a good machine.
What are you running there? We're going to go over time now, but it's okay because I'm not going to have to edit much in this, so I'm not worried about time anymore. I'm curious, Bradley, what kind of system you run?
6 gigs of RAM, an AMD F1 dual-core processor, 5600 front-side bus, 2.8 gigahertz. It's not the highest end, but the damn thing is fast.
Nice.
And you're still running...
I miss my quad-core beast.
Yeah. Well, and you're still running a regular hard drive?
I actually have an SSD, but I'm kind of annoyed because at the time I bought it, it was one of the lower-end ones, and I could get better performance from probably a mid-range or upper higher SSD for sure. It's only 64 gigs too.
I gotta say, to anyone that's getting a new computer this year, if you're gonna go and spend hundreds and possibly $1,000+ on a new computer for yourself, you're gonna go get a quad core processor, 4+ gigs of RAM, and all this, and then you're gonna go and buy a spinning hard drive. I don't understand why anyone would do that anymore.
Yeah, that's the bottleneck.
Yeah, I was about to say that. That's the perfect word for it.
I would have gotten a better
bottleneck of every system, and in most cases with these newer processors and RAM, it's the hard drive.
I would have gotten a better SSD at the time, but it was like $500, $600, $700, maybe even $1,000 for some of the M models at the time. The prices have dropped substantially.
The only reason I bought mine was because the day I went to Micro Center, they had it on sale. It was originally $289, and I got it for $180.
Nice.
And keep in mind, it's only a 32 gigabyte drive, so my C drive. It's only 32 gigs, but I've also got a 1 terabyte Caviar Green that I install other software on and that all my data goes to, because I don't need my videos to load super fast, and I don't need Photoshop to load super fast, but I do need my operating system and startup programs too.
Yeah.
And that's the best part of it right there. And I never have to defrag.
Yeah, that's the great thing about SSDs. Defrag actually harms them.
Yeah. And I saw a quote or a picture somewhere one time. It said, defragging an SSD makes about as much sense as rewinding a DVD.
It's even worse than that, though, because it harms the CPU. Better yet, rewinding a DVD in something that's got a bunch of dust and dirt in it. Because, anyway.
Yeah. Well, we need to move along. I had totally forgot that that Kat had to get out of here in a little bit. And we got totally off topic, and she didn't get to finish her eye strain story.
That's all right. You can link it in the write-up, and if you want, I can write up the tips in a condensed form, and you can put them in the blog post at the end if you want. We can do that for them to help them out.
Yep.
Why don't we talk about Apple and Android? Apparently, yeah. Apple hates Android. I don't know why.
Well, they always do. Obviously, competitors and stuff. So
I think Apple is worrying about some stuff here that they don't need to necessarily be worrying about. I mean, I wrote this post up on lockernome.com/Dylan Combs yesterday. Would you buy and I'm going to ask you this, I want you guys to answer, would you buy an app for a magazine about Google's Android operating system on your iPhone?
No.
No, you wouldn't.
Hell no.
Of course
not.
I don't even like Android phones, to be honest with you. I don't like the way the hardware is designed.
So there's a magazine publisher, their name is Media Provider. They came out with a new publication. They just started this on November 11th of this year. It's a brand new magazine. It's a bi-monthly publication all about Android, and they put it out on the internet. You can go and buy it on their site as well. And they also have an Android and an iPhone app. So they submitted their iPhone app to the App Store, and it was rejected. According to Media Providers, this is a quote from the article. According to Media Providers, Brian Dixon, the exchange went like this. So what's the problem? Dixon asked, knowing full well what the problem was. Quote, you know, your magazine, replied the Apple rep who identified himself only as Richard. Quote, it's just about Android. We just can't have that app in our App Store.
You know, it's funny.
I can't even believe they submitted it. It just blows my mind.
I laughed that they submitted it, but the fact that Apple had to reject this.
Who the hell is going to pay for tech news? Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Google. Seriously, stop the pay. People need to realize these paywalls aren't going to work. The big boys already tried it, and it was a flop. So come on, get in the game, Google.
It's not Google. It's this magazine that, you know, they're trying to sell this content. And I mean, not only is nobody going to buy it. I don't know the name of the magazine. I don't have that. But the name of the publisher is Media Provider. They're a brand new company.
So they're not, are they affiliated with Google?
No, they just write a magazine about
So they Google. Write crap that's in public knowledge, nothing special, and they're trying to put it behind a paywall on an Apple device. That's about the stupidest thing I've heard all month.
I know, but I think it's even stupider that Apple rejected this. Think about it. If I was Apple, I would let this go through and just laugh because it's not going to sell anything.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, but it doesn't surprise me.
Whatever. It's nothing special. It's typical Apple and some dumbass doing something stupid.
Well, this has just been like Apple's month of saying no. It's just, I mean, earlier this month they killed the Steve Jobs doll. If you guys saw that, this I don't know if it's a bobblehead or what this thing is. I haven't seen it more than once, but
this thing looks extremely.
This is very well made.
Was it on Twitter where you saw it?
I think that's where I first heard about it.
Yeah, because Leo and all of them were going on about it, and it was like an exact replica of Steve Jobs, and at the bottom of it, he was standing on the Apple logo, and he was holding a little mini iPhone in his hand. That's what a lot of people think why it was pulled, because it was using their logo in the iPhone. But they said that it had something to do with replicating one of their, you know, workers, and that wasn't allowed. And I'm kind of thinking, doesn't that not apply for public figures?
If I'm Apple, I don't want this to go away. I want to buy this.
It's got to be the Apple logo that was violating something. I mean,
I don't care what it is. Still, I mean,
Steve Jobs was a public figure, and you know, if you made something out of any public figure, then you're allowed to do that according to the law. So that's kind of weird. I'm thinking it has to do with the logo though, because that's where they could get them legally, and the iPhone.
Yeah.
But who knows? Apple's good. If Apple can do it legally, they're going to do it. That's Apple.
Right.
Oh, what can you do?
Crazy. Not much.
I just wish Apple would have started selling these.
It would have been interesting to see how it played out.
So they'll sell socks, but they won't sell a Steve Jobs doll.
I'm waiting for the Apple thong to come out, really. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, God.
I'm not an Apple fangirl, so...
Dylan, you're gonna... You're gonna hate this, but Powder Bay founders lose appeal, jail time reduced, but fines raised. It says it's been a while since the four Pirate Bay founders lost their case in the district court April 2009, to be precise. The verdict, of course, appealed, but also it was not to be. A Swedish appeals court has upheld the original ruling, but changed the sentencing. Three of the quartet have had their jail time reduced. Frederick Nij, not sure how to pronounce that, gets 10 months. Peter Sund, 8 months. And Carl Lundstrom, 4. And Garfred, these guys, people have some weird names, was too ill at the time to be at the hearing. I mean, he'll be determined later. The fine, however, has been upped from the original $30 million to $46 million. Which is approximate to $6.4 million.
Okay, so I only got one thing to say about this. First of all, more fines. We talked about this last week. More people are getting fined for more crap. Second of all,
and they didn't even upload the dang content. They only had bridges to the content.
I know these people that are fining these companies and these people are not that stupid. I mean, they're stupid for doing it, but they have to realize that it's a waste of time. They're never, ever, ever going to see the money.
Yeah, that's what. That's one thing that never made sense to me. Actually, in a way, it does make sense. It all has to go back to that psychological factor. They're finding these, you know, single mothers and these innocent people millions of dollars to put fear into people. If you do this, we will get you. You will go into bankruptcy. Crap like that. That's what this is all about. It's fear. And they're trying to use fear to not make people pirate. But the dang pirates are going to do it anyway. It's the stupid people that get caught. If they're even, you know, guilty of doing this. Some of them are probably innocent.
Yeah.
And, you know, this just goes back to the typical IRAA. I don't even know the freaking letter combinations of idiots. IAA.
I get them backwards all the time.
There's another one. I can't remember. Whatever. They're stupid.
I mean, I'm just wondering how long it's going to take before they just give up. Seriously.
They won't. No, they won't, and, you know, they're going to keep doing this, and the government's just, you know, literally...
They could do this every day. They could do this 10 times a day, every single day, and I guarantee you they're going to take out 1% of the world's piracy, if that. Woohoo. No, give them a fucking cookie.
It's all about money from them and the government. That's what it's really about. That, and they're just putting fear into people. But anyway, I don't want to talk about it. It's the same crap over and over.
Pro tip, learn to use Tor. That's all I have to say to anybody that's listening.
Maybe that can be a gift to charity one day or something.
Yeah.
Hey, you never know. Speaking of gifts to charity, that was nice, Bradley. Excellent transition there. Just thought I'd throw that out. You know, like I said, believe it or not, I'm not talking about Facebook this week. I know all of you are disappointed.
Oh, no.
And the crowd doesn't go wild. Anyways.
I'm glad.
You know, the holidays are coming. Doesn't matter what one you celebrate. We all want to give things to people we love. However, a lot of times the problem is we don't know what the hell to buy.
Money, give them a stack of cash. They'll go buy it themselves.
Yeah, you could do that. Or you could give the gift of charity.
You could do that too.
You could give the gift of charity. Mashable, once again, had an excellent article about this exact thing. They listed a few different things that you can do for that person that has everything. My favorite is the reason I wanted to do this story. It's called Donors Choose. And what that is Dylan, let's say you wanted to buy me something and you have no clue what to do, but you know how important it is to me to try to help others. So you could go to Donors Choose, you could choose your amount, say $50, whatever, and put it in my name. And then they will email me and say, hey, you know, Dylan Combs did this gift in your honor. where do you want this money to go? And what donors choose is it connects potential donors to classrooms who are in need. Teachers will post projects on the Donors Choose site, anything from buying pencils and pens and supplies to books to tech equipment. And then the donor goes through, you can take your time, scroll through, and see which one you think is the most important and apply your gift to that. And I love this. And this is, I first heard of this last year, and it was just huge with the tech crowd. As a matter of fact, Twitter gave away Donor Choose gift cards at the CHIRP conference this year.
Wow, that's
cool. Interesting.
Yeah, it's very cool. I really think this is fantastic. You know, so, and the reason I gave that example, we all struggle at times. There's that one person you don't know what to do. And the article lists other things you can give in someone's name to Habitat for Humanity that they list as, you know, would be great for the person who always stops to give the extra change in their pocket to the homeless person. As everybody probably knows, maybe if you're in a different country, you don't. Habitat for Humanity builds houses for homeless and at-risk families who either have no home or they live in unsafe or unsuitable dwellings. There's another organization called heifer.org, which I had not heard of, but it's a charity dedicated to ending world hunger. It gives hungry families a hand up, not just a hand out, by giving them livestock and training in areas like husbandry, which helps them become self-reliant. So those are just a couple of them. But like I said, I think Donors Choose is phenomenal. And it will, the techie on your list that you can't afford that iPad for will love this.
Yeah. Now, you know.
So think about doing something a little different this year.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea. I don't know if you guys are aware of this or not. I usually only talk about it around this time of year, and mostly towards the end of December, around Christmas time. Are you guys familiar with my previous annual donations that I make on Christmas every year?
No.
I've done it for the past 3 years now, I believe it. Not two. I think I said two a minute ago. But for the past 3 years now, it's not going to happen this year because I'll be completely honest for once on this show and say I can't afford it this year. But the last 3 years I have been able to, and every year I've donated $500 to the Humane Society and $500 to the ASPCA every single year.
Nice. That's awesome, Dylan.
Because I don't talk about it a whole lot, but I care about animals and animal rights and I don't know. I just, every year I've done this, $500 to the ASPCA and $500 to the Humane Society every year.
Yeah, I think that's one of the best things the American people or any kind of people can do if they want to support a reform or cause or something is, you know, help fund it. Because that's one of the biggest bottlenecks to having anything done is it just can't be funded or just can't be advertised enough.
Yeah. And, you know, and every year there's always listeners for the past few years that'll go in around holiday season. And for whatever reason, my number of donations always seems to go up significantly around this time of year. So this year, starting the 1st of December, I'm replacing my donate button on my site with a donate button that goes to the ASPCA and the Humane Society so that those donations will go there and not to me.
Yeah, and I, you know, this is definitely something a lot of people would like because there's a lot of people who have different charities in mind, want to support different causes because their opinions or whatever, and you give them the power to choose, you know, that makes everyone win, the person giving the money and the person being able to choose.
Absolutely.
It's an interesting way of going about things.
It is, I agree.
Before we head out of here and spam you guys with all our social media links and all that fun stuff we always do, I realize I forgot one announcement, one quick plug I wanted to give to Brad from Tech Webcast. I was originally told I wasn't supposed to mention it for the past couple weeks, but it was in Tech Webcast yesterday. So if you listen to that show, if you don't know, I do Tech Webcast every Friday with Brad. You can listen at techwebcast.info. We had a great show yesterday with Jesse Taylor and some other folks. Brad is, as always, contributing and helping the show grow and helping me in any way he can. I swear, Brad is literally the number one contributor of... I think we have about 200 to 300 people total that have donated in the past 3 years. And Brad outranks all of them. Brad's total of in donations is double the person in second, and he's continuing to do it. He's sending me or buying me a iPod Touch 4th gen, and I'm gonna be doing some app reviews since I don't have an iOS device. And we always talk about Apple stuff and iPhone apps and iOS, and now I can actually use it.
Dylan, you realize the moment you have that in your hands, Kat's going to be buying you Angry Birds.
Oh, God.
I bought it for Bradley. I got my daughter hooked on it. I got to do it.
That's great. And, you know, I remembered last night, I was thinking, oh, damn, now I have to buy a bunch of apps. It's going to cost a lot of money, even though I'm getting the thing for free.
I've bought very few. I've paid for very few apps. There are a lot of really good free apps out there.
Yeah, and, you know, I used to have an iPhone 3G, and I had an iPod Touch. I ended up selling both of them because I needed the money a while ago. But I still have on my iTunes account, like, 50-plus paid apps that I bought. So
well,
I'll get to re-download all those and get the updates and everything. And speaking of Angry Birds, I'm glad you mentioned that. Apparently there's a story I saw on somewhere that it's not coming to Windows Phone 7, but that's not what I was going to say.
I wrote it last night. Yeah, it won't be on Windows Phone 7 this year very quickly. There is going to be a holiday version, believe it or not, December, I think it's on Angry Bird Day. There is a World Angry Bird Day coming up, I think the 11th, I'll have to look. There's actually meetups planned all over the world with the big one, and I cannot pronounce it. People in the UK will kill me. Trafalgar Square, something like that. There's this huge event planned for there for Angry Birds. So yeah, it's crazy. But no, it will not be on Windows Phone 7 devices until next year.
Get this. I don't know if you knew this or not, and I didn't until the other day. I was my best friend Jake was over here at my house, and he's got a Droid. He's got the original Droid on Verizon, and I noticed he had Angry Birds on there. And I said, I thought you never bought apps. And he said, I didn't buy it. I said, wait, Angry Birds isn't free. He said, yes, it is. I said,
it is on Android.
What? Yep. Angry Birds is free on Android?
It is on Android.
99 cents on our devices.
I swear, people that have iPhones pay for so much crap that you get for free on Android.
That's why, that's a good philosophy to follow, though. Make your shit paid on on Apple side, and people will buy it.
Yeah.
Because if you're willing to spend that much with Apple products, who cares? It's 99 cents.
It was worth it.
And, you know, they need.
Although
money
it frustrates me, I'm stuck on a level and I can't get past it, and it's ticking me off to no end.
They need money to fund their cause.
That's why I kind of don't like the fact that it's only 99 cents, because everything's 99 cents or $1.99 or $4.99. I have no idea. I cannot even begin to count the number of services that I now pay somewhere between $1 and $5 a month to. It gets automatically charged through PayPal or wherever. It's just I'm getting nickel and dimed everywhere. Because there's many of these little services and apps. It's like, oh, it's $1 here, it's $2 here. Oh, Groove Shark Pro, it's $3 a month. And then I sign up for Mog, and that's $5 a month. Before you know it, it's $300 a month.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think the most expensive app I bought so far was Super Monkey Ball 2, which was a good $7, I think. $6 or $7.
Yeah. That's not so bad.
Yeah, I mean, the game really takes advantage of it's got a lot of stuff to it, so it was a bit expensive.
Well, I think it's about that time that we wrap it up and head on out of here. Be sure to tune in next week. We'll be streaming live on Saturday. What time? We're doing the show at regular time, 2 o'clock, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll be live at about 1 o'clock to stream for an hour pre-show. Since Kat will be here, I don't usually stream for a while before the show simply because I feel like I don't entertain enough before the shows. I know.
We're going to.
Yes. Oh yes. Well, we're going to take. That's one thing I was going to announce. We're going to take live calls while Kat is here for an hour before the show. So if you want to call in, the number will be 716-39-DILLON. You can call us with your questions or anything that you want, and we will take your calls live on air Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, live.combs.tv.
It's going to be a blast. I'm really looking forward to it.
It is. So let's go.
And I will be on the show with you Friday night as well. So
yeah, that's right. You'll be.
They asked me to be a guest. We're going to talk about tech and Eminem, the rap singer. So that should be fun.
I heard something about that.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I have a lot to say about one of his songs, so I'm not going to give it away.
All right. I feel privileged that I already know.
Right.
It's already spoiled for me.
Oh well, get over it.
Oh well.
All right, shall we spam?
We shall. We will start with we shall start with Bradley this week, since Bradley always seems to get stuck on last. Well, I noticed that the last three episodes you've gone last.
Okay, you can find me as Alistair Moody on Geekshed. You can email me at bradley@combs.tv. Yes, I finally got an email through combs.tv. If you have any security news or something you want me to talk about, email me there. You can follow me at twitter.com/AlistairMoody, despite me not tweeting very much. And that's about all.
All right, and
that's about all. I love how he did that. Despite me not tweeting very much. And then we're going to go into me, who is a complete Twitter whore. I don't even say addict anymore because everybody tweets at me and they're like, cat face it, you're a Twitter whore, just admit it. I am. I'm a slave to the tweet. I'm sorry. So you can find me. If you want to follow me, go to Twitter. You're not going to... I don't post on Facebook much. I don't... Well, I'm in chat. I'm in IRC a lot. But find me on Twitter. Kat Armstrong. K-A-T. Kat Armstrong. If you find the one with the C, that is definitely not me.
No, that's someone in the UK. I looked that person
up. Yeah, I looked that person up the other day. So not me. Mm-hmm. You can email me, of course. KatArmstrong@combs.tv.
I forgot to mention, also for those listening, instead of, if you don't want to email KatArmstrong@combs.tv, or if you forget that, I was able to reacquire KatAtCombs.tv,
now
KatAtCombs.tv now automatically forwards to KatArmstrong@combs.tv.
Awesome, so I didn't know that. Yeah, Kat, KAT@combs.tv. I am responsible for getting our guests, so if you have any ideas, someone you'd like us to try to talk to, send me an email. And, or, hey, if you want to be a guest yourself,
yep,
I'll be happy to take a look. So, there you go, Dylan. And
now that offer also extends to any iPhone app developers that are listening.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, you guys know that I rarely take free products for review, but I will make exceptions for software, and I always have. So, if you have an iPhone app that's either free or paid in the App Store, if it's paid, I'm probably not going to buy it just to review it. But you want to send it to me, I guarantee you I'll throw a review up in the podcast and on YouTube. So, send me stuff. Dylan@combs.tv.
And with that, thank you everybody for listening. We apologize again to those of you who normally tune in live and can't. We love you guys, we appreciate you, and we will be live next week.
And until next time, I don't know.
We're out of here.
I don't have a sign out. Peace the fuck out. See y'all later. Bye.
Peace.